Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. The Victory Monday edition for those who celebrate. The happy day after National Tight Ends Day, which Tucker Kraft celebrated in a big way edition. The Aaron Rodgers Bowl was kind of anticlimactic. Turned into a love fest instead edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which allows you to get this here program wherever you may roam, including on the Oregon Trail, where you're hopefully avoiding dysentery. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. By the way, celebrate. The Badgers scored a touchdown on Saturday. That's what it's come to. Avoiding three straight shutouts. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from an undisclosed location, I'm a big fan of his work. There's a fan behind him, too. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. What makes you say anticlimactic? No. That was anyone that was doubting or like the torch passing, however you want to look at it. Last night was a kind of a little bit of a Jordan Love coronation, which I don't think that's anticlimactic.
Well, it was if you were expecting this back and forth vintage Aaron Rodgers against his protege. Having one of them had a great game. The other guy had a good first half and then was under siege and did not play well enough by his own admission for them to win in the second half. But, I mean, it was, they boat raced him in the second half. It was 28-3 before they got that last touchdown to change the cosmetics again. You know what it felt like? It felt like those first two games where they controlled things. Now, in this instance, the Packers stunk in the first half. Three and outs offensively, not able to get after Rodgers. So, you know, I would ask you before we get into everything else, were you part of games where you were, I mean, it felt like other than Tucker Kraft's catch-and-run touchdown, they couldn't do anything right. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon's back there muffing punts. They just can't find anybody to do that job. And then in the second half, they were absolutely dominant. Do you remember games where you guys stunk it up, came out of halftime, and you were like a totally different team? Because that's what they were.
And win of all time. I think that would be one that I would say back in 1999. Outside of that, listen, man, NFL, there's ebb and flow. But last night, I think Green Bay showed what they can do. And I think I want an apology from you.
From me?
Yeah. Remember when I said Tucker Kraft needs 10 targets? And, oh, well, then what happens to Romeo? And what happens here? This offense, Matt LaFleur had it right in March and in April. Mm-hmm. And before, you know, Golden and Watson and everything else, this offense is going to run through Tucker Kraft. He knew it. And then I think he tried to, let's get cute. And, we have to make sure we spread it around. Yeah, I love the concept of spreading it around. That's cute. But Tucker Kraft is the best tight end in football. That's not hyperbole. I've watched. Tell me somebody better. Who's better? Tell me who's better. Right now.
Trey McBride.
There isn't. No, he's not. So you saw Brock Bowers. What he did. We just watched him. Bowers hadn't even played. His back's all jacked up. Tucker Kraft is a difference maker.
No doubt.
And he set the tone. And what I did last night on the postgame show, we had a great postgame show last night.
Just start early?
I tried. Homer wouldn't. After we recovered the onside kick, I said, let's go. It's over. But we had some technical, whatever. It didn't work out, which I was mad at Homer about, but we moved along. You can, when he subs for me, whatever day it is this week, you can ask
take
him about
with
it.
Him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Christian Watson being out there last night, he got my dog of the game. Even though the low-hanging fruit was obviously Jordan and Tuck, I wasn't going to do that.
Roll.
Do those guys have that game with Christian Watson not playing? Maybe, but I'll say this. What he does and how he – what he his skill set made it easier to allow these guys to have that kind of game. And you can puff and argue it is.
No,
and
I'm agreeing with you.
And that's where I think everybody – oh. And from a Packer standpoint, I'm sure you saw this and heard this. The first half, I had a guy, well, a great fan of ours, we call him the Clumpster. He is texting saying, start the post game. The Packers are beat. It's over. And I'm looking at it like, come on, man. Like, I think last night should be in a kind of for all Packer fans that are kind of half in, half out, or you can get mad and irritated, but just acknowledge and kind of let's enjoy this because it's a heck of a good football team that's going to get better. And I just saw their odds-on favorite to win the NFC today. Jordan Love, MVP candidate, top three. That's how this thing changes week to week. Now, they could go out against Carolina, fill their britches. Mm-hmm. Don't think that's going to happen because what typically happens, you get on a roll. And last night was a big game. This was as close to from a environment and from a media landscape. Last night was the biggest game of the year, maybe outside of Detroit, for Jordan Love and for Matt LaFleur. And I thought the way they – and Matt said this in Jesse SportsCenter, no panic. I didn't see LaFleur pouting at halftime with Leslie Stahl or whoever is doing the halftime show, Melissa Stark. I didn't see the panic and the, you know, raw emotion. I saw a football coach that was kind of, you know, he wasn't happy with how his team played, but there wasn't no, oh, my God, oh, we got to do this. There was a composure that mm-hmm. you need in playoff games. Last night felt a little playoff-ish, and we responded in a big way, and all of that should give a lot of confidence to us as Packer fans.
I don't disagree with anything that you said there. If you feel the need to receive an apology, Matt LaFleur and I both apologize to you because clearly he was following that same mentality of spread it around. But yeah, Tucker Kraft, no. Well, he was. Whether or not he should,
no,
you can certainly
I'm
say that.
I'm saying he was wrong. Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing.
Tucker Kraft was, I mean, I would argue as great as Love was last night, and he was magnificent, Tucker mm-hmm. Kraft was the best player on the field last night.
100%. And he kipped. He did another kip.
I know. I love it when he does that. That takes a lot of core strength, which I don't have.
Can we agree, Jason, right now that it will be negligence if Tucker Kraft gets less than 7 targets a game? It will be offensive negligence if he doesn't get at least 7 targets a game.
So
minimum.
So, Jesse, I don't know if we have from LaFleur who, and again, I am extremely appreciative because they allow me to write while I'm not there. of Rob Domofsky and all the guys that are there in person when I'm on in the comfort of my home.
But how much FOMO? You had to be FOMO'd out of your mind last night.
Not really, actually.
You should have been there. We should have found a way to get you there. We should have.
Okay. The way last week played out, I didn't have any FOMO. What I did have, though, was it was fun to listen to LaFleur's presser, where basically Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette, did a one-on-one with him. And I don't know if we have this clip, but Pete asks him specifically, can you build your passing game around Tucker Kraft? And his answer was, I'm sorry, Jesse, do you have that?
I think I have it, yes. I have a clip labeled Tucker Kraft being a primary target. So if this is what we're going for,
this is what I'm looking for.
You feel okay about building a passing game where 80, you know, your tight end is a really, really big part of it?
We'd be crazy not to. He was a beast. He was a man possessed, and like you just got to find ways to get him the ball. And you know, the first touchdown was a cold run where we spit the ball out on the run alert, and the guys, the receivers, I can't say enough about those guys, just the effort that they bring in regards to not only the pass game, which is to be expected, but in the run game, blocking for the backs or blocking for Tuck in that situation. So those guys really stepped up and did a great job.
We'd be crazy not to. So if you want to take that as his apology to you, he is acknowledging that the Tauscher plan, which, you know, you deserve credit for, although no blank blank after what we saw last night.
Yeah.
My question for you is, there are still other mouths to feed. If you look at the target numbers from last night, are you good with Tucker Kraft? He finished with 9 targets. 9 times they targeted him. Romeo Doubs, 6. Watson and Emmanuel Wilson, 4. Malik Heath, Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden, 3. Savion Williams with a touchdown on his 1 target. Luke Musgrave had 1 target, and so did John Fitzpatrick. He completed passes to 10 different players while also getting Tucker Kraft 143 yards, 131 of which were after the catch.
Yeah, I think as long as Tucker's getting his, I like spreading the football around. It makes it tough. I like that you get a lot of guys involved. I don't know if I need Doubs with 6 or 7. I don't think. Like, Doubs is fine. Yeah, you get him the ball when he's open. Thought we force-fed it. I actually think if you look at the first half, tried to feed him the ball a little bit too much. And some of those over the middle, and that's how we ended up with some 3 and outs. So there is nothing wrong. Everybody, as we know, as guys get older and you pay people, and your old receivers coach would say that, or he's still the receivers coach, whoever gets paid is going to be your number one, right? That's kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. Tucker Kraft, and I'm not going to make the mistake, even though they should be able to extend him tomorrow, they have to wait until March.
After the
season. This should be the easiest, like, boom, let's go. Tucker Kraft should be the highest paid tight end. When this thing gets done, he will be right there. And because he is a core player that does everything you want. And if you don't pay guys like him, what are you doing? And so there is no doubt he is going to get that, and he is going to continue on. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But he is the guy. And when you see production, you're saying, are you okay with this? I'm okay with scoring 35 points.
Yeah.
And being super efficient on offense. And, you know, I know you were clamoring for Golden to get more touches. Matthew Golden's going to be just fine. He is a rookie. He will get his – there will be games he has 6 or 7 targets. Last night wasn't it. Last night, they couldn't guard Tucker Kraft. And until someone can, I don't know why. You don't need to reinvent wheels. Like, wheels still work. And Tucker Kraft was the wheel that drove the engine of the bus last night for this team to win that game.
The highest paid tight ends in the league average $19 million a year for George Kittle and Trey McBride. Travis Kelce, 17. T.J. Hockenson, 16. Mark Andrews, David Njoku, 14. So, yeah, he's going to get paid some
Tucker Kraft will be money. Tucker Kraft will be a $20 million a year guy.
They will have
now the Packers, being the smart team that they are, will probably, because he has another year left on his deal, they'll probably get him for a little bit less, give him a 4 or 5 year deal, and that's exactly. And Tucker wants to be here; they know that. So my guess is he might not get 20, but he should, because he's this good. I mean, he's a great football player.
Yeah, he's a magnificent.
He has been. Player. And I love the way, I mean, his approach, I don't love the fact he's headbutting with no helmet on, but he plays his keister off and he sets a tone. And it was just fun to see everybody on a national stage last night see that.
Isn't it crazy how much things can change, though? Like the first half of, in the first half of 2023, Luke Musgrave was all the rage, right? We were cracking jokes about him being like Bambi on the one catch in Chicago, but like it was, oh, he ran 23 miles per hour during practice, the fastest among anyone on their team, and he was going to be this down the seam pass catching fool. And then he ruptures his kidney, and Tucker Kraft gets his opportunity, and he has not looked back, man. His arrow has been on the upswing. Ever since.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He got hurt. Was that last year? He got hurt and it set him back a little bit. But yeah.
He tore his pec in the offseason.
Yeah. If you know ball, you watch, and Luke Musgrave is a really good athlete, and it was going to be, and in today's day and age, you know, athletes, tight
ends.
Lots
of tight ends like him.
But if you know ball, you saw the comparisons to him and Kittle, because he's able to get his nose in there and block, and he just, it took him a little time to, I think, really get comfortable, because, you know, he played at a smaller school. And I think South Dakota State is a great program, obviously. They've won a ton. Just to pick things up took him maybe a smidge longer. But once he did, now there's nobody better.
There's no doubt about that. All right, we need to get to our positives and negatives. Then we get to your calls. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Is this who these guys are? What we saw last night, is this a declaration that the Green Bay Packers are who we thought they were after the first two games? Because it has been an interesting, to use some of the Grateful Dead references that I heard from you and Matt LePay, and Kelly Sheffield when he was in the booth during the game with the Ducks doing their Grateful Dead celebration. What a long, strange trip it's been through the first seven games. But I don't know how you don't feel great about where this team is at. Now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to your calls coming up. But before anything else, Tausch needs to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And when it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her team at Pella, just like Matt LaFleur needed to trust Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft. Everybody wins. And this month, you can win a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable, thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
844-770-3776. If you have the time to wait on hold, get in the queue now on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Packers beat beat the Steelers in the Aaron Rodgers Bowl 35-25. They are now 5-1-1. Only one other team in the National Football League has just one loss in the loss column. That would be the Indianapolis Colts. Which is a little weird. Danny Dimes. All right, let's get to our positives and negatives. We spent a lot of time talking about Tucker Kraft, who not only has that deal with Kraft Macaroni and Cheese, but maybe they could start a special edition Yak and Cheese. 131 of his 143 receiving yards coming after the catch. That would be an indicator to me that not only do good things happen when he has the ball in his hands, he said he was a high school running back when he was playing nine-man football, but on top of that, when the Matt LaFleur offense is running at its peak level, you're getting the ball out quickly and you're letting guys make things happen once they've caught it, and that was what they did last night. All right, Tausch, your biggest positive not named Tucker Kraft.
Did T.J. Watt play last night?
He did.
I mean, he got a penalty.
And he almost deflected that touchdown pass, but Jordan Love did a great job sidearming it like Kent Tekulve.
Yeah. Kent Tekulve, sure. I thought the offensive line, zero sacks, right? I mean, he got hit a couple of times, but I think the thing that we see is so many times pundits and people that don't watch will just stereotype and say, oh, well, Pittsburgh, they're tough. Their defense is good. It's Steel City. Their defense isn't good.
It's not.
Their defense statistically is very poor. Gettable. Yeah. And the fact that the Jets scored a bunch of points. And so you can't just say, well, this is what this group has always been, so that's what they are. Well, that's what they hope.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the case. And I thought our offensive line last night, and you give Zach Tom a lot of love, I thought they controlled the flow of the game. And you know, mm-hmm. that was – all of this other stuff is great, the Tucker and Christian Watson, Jordan Love, and you ran the football. You know, all of that is set up when you can block people and move people. And I thought last night the fact T.J. Watt, who is kind of in that category with Micah and everything else – you saw the difference. T.J. Watt's a great player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But him and Micah right now, I don't think that's a comp that you can probably make. Micah and Myles Garrett are – Myles had five sacks. Micah was dominant last night. And T.J. at home against – I don't think there was a ton of double teams. But maybe I'll be proven wrong when Pro Football Focus puts it out. But it felt like they matched him up, and Zach Tom held his own last night.
Yeah, and Zach Tom went out, and then they scored a touchdown on the next play, and then he was back out there the next series. So he was in some pain there for a while, but then he was back out there.
Looked like a foot. It looked like he got his foot tied up with Jordan Morgan. It wasn't. I thought for a second it might have been a hip related or oblique, and I was hoping that wasn't the case. And it turned out
it wasn't.
Hopefully it wasn't.
I had two positives. One. The fact that Aaron Rodgers got to experience the opposite side, having heard the Go Pack Go chants on road games when he was the Packers quarterback, and on Sunday night he heard them loud and clear at his home stadium of Acrisure Stadium. He also had to go to a silent count at home, which I know was something that Packers teams of the past enjoyed when the Packers fans were there. I think they should have done the wave in honor of taking over the stadium. And
that
was
would have
offense.
Been funny.
And then the other one, this is a sneaky one, but this really struck me when NBC showed the replay of it. DK Metcalf is talking stuff and then appears to either poke him in the eye or at least put his hand in the face mask of Quay Walker. And Quay Walker doesn't do anything foolish. Same guy that got kicked out of two games as a rookie. If anything deserved getting a beatdown in response, it's poking the guy in the eye. And Quay Walker didn't do anything. He was not baited into doing anything, getting a penalty. They get 15 yards on that. They go from 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 17 in a game where they're still in it. And the Steelers can't convert. And it's pretty much all over after that. I thought, great job by Quay Walker of maintaining his composure when a guy is clearly causing trouble. So that was a sneaky one for me.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think that all kind of got swept. You know, they didn't really delve into how that all shook out. But great point. I think that's a great point.
All right, what was your negative?
The kicking game. And I think correct me if I'm wrong. I've been very adamant. You keep two until McManus is healthy. I think McManus felt pipped. I think he's feeling the pippage of what's going on. And, you know, he had told Haversick, go make kicks and all this other stuff.
Go make some money.
I don't know if he comes back this quickly. Now, he wants to get out there. And I just want to make sure I am crystal clear on this. McManus is the guy I want kicking. McManus is our kicker. He will be our postseason kicker. He is our guy. But make sure you're healthy and you're back. And don't come back early just to get back.
Yep.
And totally I felt like last night it was, he's an old vet, but he has been cut for other reasons, right? And
correct.
You get to this point in your career and you see that you're on a special, potentially a special team. And I just felt like last night he rushed. How often does he miss a kick short?
Yeah. I mean,
not
look, is a 57 yarder, and it's the surface isn't great. We know that. Chris Boswell had talked about it previously. They had a game. Pittsburgh
if he's 100%, Chris Boswell didn't have any problem with 56,
correct.
57.
Yep, that's
last
exactly
night.
What I was about
Here's
to say.
Here's the deal, and I'm not saying I'm not in those medical meetings. All I'm saying is, if you give it a couple weeks, if he's healthy, he's not leaving a kick short. I just don't believe that.
Yeah,
and if I'm wrong, great.
No. Nope.
So Haversick,
and then he pulls the 44 yarder after that.
Yes. Haversick should have kicked last night. And another week where you let him get healthier. And a lot of times you'll say these things and people, oh, you're doing. No. I want McManus as my kicker. He is our kicker. But I also don't think you better. I would make sure I'm not letting Haversick go anywhere until I am convinced. Old boy is back and in his flow, and he's healthy. And until I see that, I'm not touching Haversick's eligibility status as an active roster player because somebody will snap him up, and I don't want to be palming and crowning because Haversick has been good. He's done everything you hope for. Last night was another sign of guy's psychology. I really believe he rushed himself back because of all of the outside noise that's happening.
Yeah, if Lucas Haversick is, you know, 8 for 11 on his kicks in the two games he's missed, is he feeling the same? You've talked about this, right? Like, you played 11 years in the league. You were a starter from almost day one as a rookie. But you were always – and tell me if this is an inaccurate view of your approach, but, like, you never wanted to open the door for someone to replace you, ever.
Nobody wants to. No, and if you listen to Brett Favre, he said it. I think Rodgers looked at it that way. It doesn't matter if you're a star or not. Now, obviously, stars are different.
Sure.
But everybody understands that you open the door, someone's going to take advantage of it, and all of a sudden, guys can look at it and say, well, we're paying this guy this, and, well, boy, this guy's a pretty good young player. Yeah, that's how this works, and that's why guys are super insecure. And when narratives get spun, they get irritated. And they should, because it's their livelihood. So when Jason Wilde is saying, oh, boy, this guy's a little less expensive. He's a pretty good player. Well, maybe we do this. Those narratives happen, and it pisses players off. And that's why players always do whatever they can to get out there and play so that they don't open that narrative door.
only one of them has kicked in a Super Bowl. Only one of them has a decade of experience. Tausch is right in his mentality. I do think it's noteworthy that they needed to create a roster spot. They were at 53 to get Christian Watson onto the roster, mm-hmm. and it was Chipotle Ben that got the boot, and they kept Lucas Haversick and did not expose him to the waiver wire. So I think that says something in terms of their value that they see in him. And Matt LaFleur, look, last night after the game, again, in his basically one-on-one with Pete Doherty last night, acknowledged that they're going to reassess and reevaluate. Now, he does make 28 and 25 yarders in the second half. He made all of his extra points that he attempted. But you can, you know, look, they clearly trust him. No one's saying they shouldn't either, not even you who brought this point up. The point is that while he gave the thumbs up at the end of his workout before the game, it was probably influenced a little bit as someone who doesn't want to get pipped, Wally pipped, which you don't have to worry about on Wisconsin's Morning News on 620 WTMJ. We need to get to your calls. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We'll do that and take your calls after I tell you about the one call you need to make if you've been injured. Hopefully you never are. Hopefully. You never have to make the call. But if you do because you've been injured, there's one call to make in an accident. Grubel Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website gruber-law.com to find out more. Your calls are next on the Carbless Talkin' text line. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Let's get to your calls without further ado. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liss is more. Let's start. Jesse, this guy called before the show started?
Just before I went live with my SportsCenter update, the phone rang, and I answered a call from Brandon in Tulsa. Yes.
Well, let's start there then. Brandon, good morning. How are you today?
Doing really well. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I told Jesse, I almost felt bad for calling in because he answered the phone and said, Wilde and Tausch, hang on, straight to hold. So clearly very busy. I'm glad I got in.
He's a very busy guy. You're right. You're
not
right
very,
about that.
Not very, very friendly.
He's here.
I feel like I might have said it a little nicer than that, Brandon.
I don't know. I'm not saying you were rude. I am saying I felt bad for calling in, so interpret that however you want to. I was like, well, maybe I'll
call don't feel bad, Brandon.
Time.
Don't feel bad.
So nothing but positives for me today. It was a great game. I really feel like the second half turned out the way it did because Coach LaFleur finally looked at his QB and said, okay, I need my playmakers to go win this game. Like, I'm my biggest positive of the night going forward, I guess, would be seeing Jordan trust his dudes and seeing Matt LaFleur trust his guy, Jordan. I really feel like Matt's approach to the whole, well, you know, we've got a really good defense, so we're going to run the ball and see if we can pass because we're a good running team. I guess I don't have a problem with it, but if we want to win a Super Bowl this year, I think it's going to be because Jordan Love and the three-headed monster of Jordan, Christian, and Tucker lead the way. Like, I know you didn't coin this phrase, Tausch, the big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, but that really is what this team can be and should be. Goody has given Matt LaFleur all the talent he needs to win a Super Bowl. And the only thing I think that would really get in their way of doing that is Matt LaFleur's cerebral mind getting in the way instead of just telling his guys, hey, I need to go be the best players on the field today, regardless of who we're playing, because they're good enough to do it. When they signed Micah, I was like, yep, this is it. This is the Super Bowl window. This is the Super Bowl year. You have the talent, so just go tell your best playmakers, go be the best playmaker. And, Taush, I really wonder if you see any similarities between this team and the team you won the Super Bowl with, because you guys weren't gangbusters start to finish week after week. You just got really, really good and comfortable with each other at the right time and then tore it up in the playoffs. And I feel like that's where this team's going. This is different than 2023. These guys are all older. They know what they're doing, and they know what they can do going forward. So I have no negatives. I think Matt LaFleur just needs to trust his franchise QB and say, okay, man, this is your team. You can be the best quarterback in the league. You got the best tight end. C-Watt's only going to get better. Oh, by the way, you got a guy named Josh Jacobs. Like, let your playmakers go win you a title. Don't get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jason, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, obviously the 2010 season, a bunch of us got hurt.
Yeah, they upgraded a right tackle. Elevated,
and I don't look at this team in any way, shape, or form like 2010.
I don't either.
This is a 96. This looks like the 96 team to me much more than the 2010 team. If you're going to compare Super Bowl teams, now I don't want to sit here and crown, but if you're saying this is a Super Bowl contending team, Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary, we had Clay Matthews. Clay was really good,
and Colin Jenkins.
Micah is another
level. Different.
Micah's the best pass rusher in football. He is. Myles Garrett and him are right there.
Yeah.
You have a young emerging group, and I think Jordan is much more Brett Favre-ian than he is Aaron Rodgers. I still believe that.
So what do you make of this was one of the things I wanted to ask you, and I'm very curious to ask Matt LaFleur, because both the plays work out magnificently. But the throw to Watson and the throw to Kraft, one turns into a 59-yarder, one's a 33-yarder to Watson. How do you view those plays? And do you think when they're grading the film that those are plus results but minus decisions? I mean, Tucker admitted that he did a little elbowing to create some space to catch his. And the throw to Watson was right on the money. Like, the defender leaps and it's beyond his fingertips. That one I thought was a great play. The other one I thought was a little bit of I'm about to get my bell rung, throw it up and hope that Tucker makes the play, which is a little Favre-ian, to your point. How did you view those two big plays that were not big yak plays? They were big down the field throws.
The throw to Watson was, I thought, executed beautifully. Yeah. Now, do you want to say you should be running to your right and throwing it back across your body again a little bit, which is what he did? Yeah, that's not going to be graded right. But listen, man, you have to let your guys go make plays too. One of the criticisms that people gave Rodgers, especially in the playoffs, is he's too conservative with the football. I think that was always crazy, but people said it, and then, I don't know if I disagreed. So that was just a guy making a play. And as far as throwing one up to Tucker Kraft, that's where it's about players, not plays. And you trust your guy. If that was Musgrave, or if that was somebody else, if it was Chipotle Ben, if he comes back, he's not making that throw. You make conscious decisions, understanding it's 85, I can go there. That's the difference. So, yeah, you know what, Jason, artists, and it's not all, paint by numbers. You got to have some freelance, baby. The great painters weren't paint by numbers, guys. They're freelancers. They were inspired by different things, and they ended up having different results. It's not always going to be – you can't – football is not a game played by robots yet. I don't know if it'll happen, it's still humans, and it's about earning the trust of those guys to make a play like that. Was it lucky? I don't know. Tucker Kraft has body control and went up and made a play. No, I don't think it was luck. I had people texting me, was that good? Were those throws luck? The throw to Watson was all skill, and the throw to Tucker Kraft was, that's my guy. And
yeah, I
know I
didn't
he's
think they were
play.
Luck. I thought they were you had mentioned Favre, and I thought they were Favre risk type throws that delivered a big time reward. I didn't think they were lucky. I thought that they were risky, and they worked out great. There's no two ways about it. And to your point,
well, if something's risky and it works out great, that's luck. I don't think that's what it was.
No, I think there was risk throwing it to Tucker Kraft, and Tucker Kraft made a great play on the ball, and he may have gotten away with a push off, as he admitted after the game. Bottom line is that sometimes it's okay to take some of those risks, and I feel like we were conditioned by Aaron Rodgers for so long that we just thought, well, you never do that. You don't put the ball in harm's way, and he did it. And it worked out great. I don't think that's luck. I'm not saying that at all. I understand that maybe you got some text to that effect. I just think that sometimes we felt like with Aaron Rodgers, who very rarely, if ever, was willing to take those risks. I mean, let's think back to that era for a second. We had people that criticized him all the time for not taking enough chances. That was a narrative. I don't hear anybody saying about Jordan Love, well, he doesn't take enough chances. I don't hear that. Right?
Yeah. Jordan, and you know what? Jordan will still make some mistakes. We've seen it this year. He still will make mistakes. Favre, obviously, way too many mistakes. And if you get that hybrid, which is what it's trending that Jordan's going to be, is a hybrid of both. Aaron Rodgers, let's not rewrite history. That throw that he made to Greg Jennings over the fingertips of Ryan Clark was a risky throw, but it was also understanding what needed to happen and the throw he needed to make. So narratives are narratives. People can have what they want. Last night, the narrative was Jordan Love was the best quarterback on the field, and he looked like what we saw. He looked like what we saw at the end of 20. He looked like the Jordan Love that we crowned. That's what he looked like last night. He was crown-worthy last night.
But you're not crowning him again.
No, I've picked him to win the MVP.
So we are crowning.
I crowned him. But, well, I think he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He is still a young player that's going to make some mistakes more than others. But every quarterback in the league does. Jordan gets criticized, I think, a little bit unfairly.
Dude, he's thrown two interceptions all season.
Yeah, like he's had a really good season.
Like, and to the point that I was making with Homer last night was that, in my opinion, he merited criticism for the interception in Cleveland, even if you felt like Matt LaFleur should run the ball. And he merited criticism for throwing the check down to Emmanuel Wilson when it was an ozone play. But look what he's done the last three games. He makes a huge clutch throw to Matthew Golden in the Bengals game, which makes it possible for them to win the game. And in the game in Arizona, he is responding every time that they needed a big play. And then the throw to Kraft is a big-time fourth-down clutch throw. So what to me anyway, and this is what I wrote in my game story, when you look at that's what this is supposed to be. Like, you do something that's less than ideal, and you learn from it, and then you play, and you make the plays that you didn't make earlier in the year in the two games they haven't won.
Yesterday, who are you arguing with?
Not you, just in general. Like,
I was going to say, I literally said the exact same thing.
The idea that those play, well, I guess it's with the people who texted you. Like, I don't think that those plays take away from what was what I called a magnificent performance, and I actually got a compliment from Homer saying it was the perfect word last night at 1:15 in the morning. Like, he was awesome last night. But let's make sure we understand that sometimes he takes chances which we weren't accustomed to with his predecessor. Like, here's the deal. I don't think we ever felt that way about him.
I thought Aaron Rodgers did take, but they were much more calculated.
Agreed.
Chances. With Jordan Love, what we don't understand is we all want, and I've said this all year, the Superman thing, and you guys laughed at me. Last night he did throw the cape on a few times. He had to go save some folks. The offense was struggling. It was you had to go in the phone booth and change. Not every game you need that. Cleveland, you didn't need it. Cleveland, you could have been Lex Luthor. You'd have been fine. You just didn't. You couldn't do something dumb. And I think as this thing keeps going, Carolina coming in this week, you're not going to need to cape up. You just need to play a good, consistent game and go about your business. You have enough talent to beat anybody you want. And that's where this team is right now. And, you know, you can argue if you want. Tell me a team that's more talented that has the tight end, quarterback, running back, and closer that this group has. Now, if you want to, and I'm shocked, I know we've only gotten to one call, but the negatives, I think that Green Bay should look at trying to grab a corner and somebody that can return kicks or punts. If you can get a punt returning corner, especially a number one corner that is a great – if you can get Deion Sanders from the 90s, I'm in.
Okay, we'll work on that. Interesting that they delivered the vote of confidence very loudly for Nate Hobbs when they knew they had benched him in favor of Carrington Valentine, because that was on Thursday.
I'm telling you, Jason, anytime coaches start talking way too highly about you, buyer beware. No, or you get the Chamber of Commerce Award before the season starts. Beware. Beware.
Well, at least you've got the UW Credit Union Award and the great vibes that you spread around AmFam Field as well, thanks to UW Credit Union.
Yeah, and for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. You know what? Why do you want to join UW Credit Union? Well, you like keeping your banking local? Well, I do. You like great member first service? I do. You like great perks like early payday? I do. But honestly, you got Bucky. And if you love the state of Wisconsin, like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things. This just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
There are some negatives that we probably glossed over, including Keyshawn Nixon's performance. The fact that where is Mike Pryor's got to be about 68 years old by now, but he might be worth bringing back. Just go back there and catch the ball. That's all we want. Fair catch everything. We'll wait until Desmond Howard emerges. Just catch the ball. Just keep the ball safe because they can't seem to do that right now. We'll talk more about those, but more of your calls, 844-770-3776 next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know.
Get back to your call. 844-770-3776. Start with Chris in Texas. Chris, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. So many positives to talk about. I got to limit it because I know your phone lines are probably blowing up. I just got to say, huge road win in a place with a lot of postseason energy. You know, I was a little worried with the jelly glaze fingers early on leading to some drops, but just great composure shown all throughout. The second half adjustments were huge. This team is growing up, and I'm excited about the future. Zach Tom, just locking down T.J. Watt. What a great sleeper pick. I mean, Jordan Love had enough time for Jason to pick out a new couch. It was awesome.
Nice.
And Tucker, I got to issue a formal apology to Tucker Kraft. I was at the Thursday night football game with my kids. against the Lions, his rookie season, and the players were out warming up. Fans are out there getting signatures. I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know what Luke Musgrave looked like. And I started calling out Luke when I saw him, because that's what everybody was calling out. And he looked right at me and just kind of just shook his head. You know, he wasn't mad. He just kind of shook his head and ran into the tunnel. Tucker Kraft, I'm sorry. I will never forget your face, and neither will the rest of the world. Hail King Kraft. Last night was inauguration night.
Great call, Chris. Did he literally, like, put the phone in the cradle there? Click. Yeah, he was unbelievable, especially after he got the ball in his hands. It was impressive. So I don't think anyone's confusing those two at this point, that's for sure. This is the call I've been looking forward to. I'm very, very, very curious about what she has to say. Let's go to Erica in Milwaukee before we get to the 10 o'clock hour. Erica, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I wish the game would have been closer, kind of more exciting, like last minute fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah. Anticlimactic, some might say.
60-yarder. Well, my positive is, yes, Jordan Love looked very, 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 very good. However, to win a Super Bowl, you're going to have to stack those very, very, very good games together. So now next week, you can't come out and throw one touchdown and, like, 150 yards passing. Yeah, join the big boy club with another 300 yards and three touchdowns passing.
Well, if they can win with him throwing for 150 yards and one touchdown, though, does it matter?
That's not going to win you MVP.
Well, and Tausch definitely wants that because he and Jesse want to cash in on that, yes.
That's true. We do.
All right, and then my kind of negative is that offsides that the Steelers got chipped out of, I think that was the turning point in the game because even if the Steelers could have went and scored a field goal, they would have gone up by three scores. And after that was when benches started clearing, people started poking each other in eyes. Rodgers just looked frustrated and pissed, and I think Steelers were just like, what the heck just happened? And that was, I mean, that's when the fun kind of got taken. I mean, because then the unsportsmanlike stuff started happening, and people were shoving and kicking, and that's not NFL football. And when, granted, whatever you guys call this, when the Steelers got the ball at the end there, I can't think, Chewy called it like crap defense or something, when Aaron Rodgers went down there and scored the touchdown and they were going for the two-point conversion. Granted, I held my breath because I'm like, well, if they score the two-point conversion here, granted, the onside kick is the hardest thing to get a hold of, but all you need is another touchdown and another two-point conversion, and we're talking about a whole different game. So, Jordan Love, you got to stack these good games up to join the man club.
Yeah, he was magnificent last night. We'll see what he does. But, again, Carolina got, what, 40 hung on them by the Bills, who got their two-game winning streak or losing streak ended. I don't think he has to throw for 300 yards for him to be what they need him to be. But when they need him to play at a high level, he needs to play at a high level, and he was that last night in a huge way. And I love the fact, and thanks for the call, Erica. One of the things that I loved about what he said last night was that he, you know, the easy answer when somebody asks if he felt more pressure with going up against his mentor, his predecessor, whatever you want to call it, you know, the easy answer is say, you know, look, I was just focused on me. I wasn't worried about Aaron. We don't go head to head. And instead, he flat out admitted there was more pressure. And as you have often quoted, Billie Jean King, pressure is a privilege. And he rose to that pressure with one of his best games. Second most passing yards he's had in a game in his career in the regular season. So, again, I don't think he needs to have a 300-yard game to confirm what he did.
I would agree. What do you think Aaron Rodgers was in his head last night as he was driving home after that game?
Well, I would say a couple things. First of all, I think he realized that his team, while it was 4-1 at one point, is missing some pieces. one. Two, I think he looked at Jordan Love and said, this guy's got a chance to join the gunslinger and me in the pantheon of really great quarterbacks. I think that's what he was thinking. What do you think he was thinking?
No, I mean, I just wonder if he was, you know, as he was kind of chuckling with Micah Parsons as he was chasing him down two or three plays in a row, I just wonder if he was thinking at all, boy, that would have been nice to have something like that at the end of my career. I don't know what he was thinking. I know this. I know he knows that the Green Bay Packers are a much better football team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. That I know he knows walking out of there last night, because that was a raucous home environment. And that second half, Aaron's a smart dude. He saw it and realized they're just a lot better than we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the offsides, the officiating sucked last night. Let's just call that what it was. I like the fact that they didn't go back and review what was obviously an offsides by Green Bay. They didn't call it. And if they had, I would have went ballistic.
Right. Were they, like, considering that, That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
It looked like they were talking about
Rodgers was talking him into it.
And, flag.
Yeah, and if they start doing that, I'm telling you, I think I'm going to stop watching football. So I hope that they don't, because I love watching football. So that part of it, whatever it might be. But it felt, you know, I think last night had to be very humbling in the respect that, you know, Rodgers knows his time is coming to an end. And to see what he had on the other side, I think there's probably a little bit of pride in the fact that Jordan Love is playing at that level, and Aaron can and should take a small sliver of that's pretty awesome that this young man is evolving into being the guy, but also probably looking at it with a little bit of, man, that's a lot of talent over on that defensive side of the ball. And I don't know if we ever had that. Maybe
in
2014. I think there's probably a little bit of remorse as well. I think he had – if you didn't think he was amped up last night, he was mother blanking everybody a bunch of times. You saw a lot of the Rodgers at the end of his time in Green Bay last night in that Pittsburgh game.
I agree with that. I also agree with your love of Tito's.
Yeah, I have a little koozie here. Look at this, a little Tito's koozie. I'm going to enjoy it later this afternoon.
Did you bring that with you from Wisconsin, or did you pick that up while you were in Oregon?
Beaten Pittsburgh, scoring touchdown out in Oregon. A lot of fun stuff happening. And Tito's handmade vodka. Make sure that is in your drink, whether it is a spicy Bloody Mary, maybe a little Gatorade with it. But it's always Tito's in my glass. They make great drinks, and they also get back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, and it is crafted to be savored responsibly.
What? I'm not hallucinating, right, Jesse? There was a little, like, thought bubble thumbs up came up when Tausch did that?
When he gave
well,
it
when Jesse's
you and I
also,
do that, nothing
I asked
happens.
Jesse, I asked Jesse, I said, hey, we're doing this differently because I'm in a more of a remote, like a legit remote spot. So my cell phone service, not great. Video service is very good. I said, hey, just want to know because, you know, between breaks is the video off. And, Jelly's like, yep, you're good. And then I find out that the video's rolling the entire show.
I'm basically
in a Truman Show for 3 hours.
You weren't on video. Your audio
that's not
was
what I
coming
heard.
For
that's
some reason.
Not what I heard. There's I didn't realize this is Truman. And I'll Truman up and be Truman today.
I don't know why your audio was coming through. I apologize for that and for our YouTube streamers.
Truman.
More importantly, I was aware. I was made aware of that as well by a few texts. I just was more interested in why you made the thumbs up motion with your hand, and then a little purple thumbs up appeared in the screen.
It is weird, isn't it?
I don't understand how that happens.
I appreciate when I actually do the thumbs up, then when I'm thinking something and it's doing it, that freaks me the you-know-what out.
All right. Well, we'll freak everybody out by getting to the 10 o'clock hour at 10:14. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.